Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, who is heading out tonight? Are you going? You're going out? Yeah. So go ahead, stand up. Let's just go into the middle aisle and we'll pray. Father, thank you for this evening. As the word is preached to the younger set, we give you glory and thanksgiving and praise for that tonight. In the name of Jesus, thank you that they hear the word. They'll not forget the word, and the word will prosper in the place it's sent. In Jesus' name, can I hear an amen? Amen? Amen and amen. All right, praise God. Let's go ahead, get in our Bibles tonight. Go over to Acts, put one place in Acts chapter 10, because that's where we are going to end up, and then flip over to Galatians 3. I'm not going to pass much in review, but it is important that we review just a little bit to bring it up to speed, and we'll do that once we get to Acts 10. But Galatians 3, look at verse 28. This was our foundation last week. Again, it's the title of this is Racial Reconciliation Part 2. It reads this way, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Now, come on. Right here, there's in God's eyes, there's neither Jew nor Greek. Excuse me. People are the ones who put the great emphasis on the color of skin, the background, the ethnicity, the nationality, whatever you want to call it. People are the ones that attach things to certain people groups. And the fact of the matter is, it is a melting pot out here in the world. And there are a lot of people of different nationalities, of different colors, of different backgrounds, of different languages. And God is the creator of man. So why in the world should we look at somebody based on their ethnicity and say, you don't know, you've never lived around them, or you know whatever it may be? And it's like, wait a minute, you got bad apples in every bunch. You do. There are bad apples in every bunch. Have you ever thought you got the perfect bag of fruit at the store? And now if you're only buying a bag of 10 or 12 or something, there's a chance you did. Okay? There's a chance. But you get a bushel. How many of y'all have ever bought a bushel of peaches or apples or pears? And somewhere in there you get one that's just not so good. You haven't lived until you have bitten into an apple and had a worm crawling in your mouth. Now, I've had that happen to me already. That apple looked so perfect. I mean, it was perfect, and I bit into it, and all of a sudden I feel this. Hey. Protein. Yeah, there you go. No, I didn't view it. I was like, oh, my goodness. I mean, what do you do when you have a worm in your mouth? You get rid of it. Felt sorry for the little guy because I had to kill him, but, you know, I mean, it's like, gee whiz. That's terrible. There's always a bad apple, it seems, in the bunch. You know, I mean, I remember years ago working in a place where we made parts for hand grenades. I worked for a company when I was teaching tennis at the club. One of the people there owned a big corporation, a large factory in Milwaukee, and he hired me on, and we were doing parts. He had a military contract of some sort, and we were making little parts for hand grenades. Something with, I don't know what the part was. I never did see where it went. We weren't allowed to figure all that out, you know. But anyway, it was interesting of that part, and we had to weigh count them, and they had to go through an inspection process with a machine. Part of the time I had to do that, and I would test how strong it was, and I forget now what the machine was called that I used, but it would actually come down and compress on the thing, and it had to withstand a certain amount of PSI, whatever it was, and if it caved before that, we had to reject. We pulled out a certain number out of each lot of production, and if one of them failed, I mean, it was real strict stuff because this was a vital part in a hand grenade. And so it, you know, if there was one bad one in there, all the rest of them could have been fine. We weren't going to test all 10,000 in that batch. But they ended up scrapping a lot of stuff that probably was okay. But my point is, one bad one made it bad for the whole group. And that can happen. It can happen in politics. We view today politicians. So many of them are, you know, outwardly, they've got the smile on their face. You know, the ding, their teeth shine when they smile at the camera. And then you come to find out how they vote. And it's very disappointing. A family man who voted for partial birth abortion. You know, oh, you're a family man. Yeah, it's good for everybody else. You know, they have a right to a choice. You're a real family man. You would murder an innocent little baby. I mean, give me a break. I had this conversation with a brother yesterday, and he and I agreed, you know. But I said, how in the world can people stand up and vote along party lines for a party that says it's all right to kill babies? I lose all respect when that stuff goes on. Can I hear an amen? It's the truth. It's the truth. I know some people get real like, oh, I wouldn't say anything about politics. Well, who is supposed to be involved in? Who, the Bible says that the government will rest on the shoulders, yeah, of the body of Christ. Wow. Amen. That's in the book of Isaiah. So here we go. There's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. That ought to settle the argument right there. If you're in Christ, you're one. You're one with that person over there who believes, who's a different color than you. You're one with that one who comes from another nation. They speak a different language. They eat things you wouldn't eat, and choices and all that, the tastes and all that vary. But we're one in Christ. Now, I'll tell you what, you need to run a little litmus test on yourself as to whether or not you have a little of this this prejudice in you. You know, really, the bottom line is there's no place for that. The love of Jesus does not allow for a little bit of prejudice. Do you hear me? That needs to be our approach. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Who was just saying to me the other day about the blood transfusion? Somebody brought that up. Who was that? That was Rhonda that was talking about that. We were talking about, and it was like, okay. If a person needs a blood transfusion, as long as there's no, you know, disease or anything in the blood or what have you, it doesn't matter if it came from a white person, a black person, a brown person, whatever the color of the person was, you know, as long as they're whole. Now, I remember that years ago on All in the Family. I don't know if y'all remember that series. And old Archie, he was a bit of a bigot, yeah, a bit prejudiced, and so he's in the hospital, and he needed blood. He needed something. And this guy, he assumed that he was white in his room. They had the curtain, you know, and he got a blood transfusion from this man. And the man was a black man. It was just great. I was like, oh, my goodness. And, you know, it just goes to show you that, hey, come on, blood is blood. I mean, if I cut myself, I bleed the same color anybody else does, no matter what color is on the outside of your skin. And there are no such things as blue bloods. Amen. Amen. Just so you know. We're special. No, you're not. There's no such thing. That's a form of prejudice in itself, that superiority thing. Here's the definition of prejudice. A preconceived, usually unfavorable idea. Can you say amen? An opinion held in disregard of facts that contradict it. Bias, intolerance or hatred of other races. It also can mean injury or harm. Prejudice is very common in the world today. We cited a few different places. Rwanda, it goes on. There's ethnic differences. Northern Ireland between the Protestants and the Catholics. There's apartheid in Africa. There's Russia and Ukraine. lot of strife there. And I saw some of this in Central America. You know, it's not always about one color to the other. It can be people of the same color who are prejudiced against them, a person, not because of their color, but for some other reason. Last week, we cited to you different things that people get into prejudice over. And I'll tell you what, education, how much money you make, you know, where you live, size of your house, kind of clothing that you wear, this, that, and the other. I mean, you know, that kind of stuff, it divides people. And you can't let it. You cannot let it. You have to be all things to all people. It's not like you go, well, I'll only minister to those who have this amount of education, because God has educated me, and I'll only minister to educated people. That's a lie. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Now, he may be able to use you there, but you have to be so diverse that you can minister to somebody who doesn't have a fifth grade education and know how to present the gospel to them as well. Jesus didn't walk around with a prejudice in him. He walked and he ministered to whoever it was. The people that were wealthy, the people that were poor, the people that were highly educated, the people that didn't have any education at all, and everybody in between. And it didn't matter where they were from or who they were. And so we need to be that in the earth today. There is no place for prejudice of any kind in the body of Christ. Can I hear an amen? Acts chapter 10, go there. Acts chapter 10, this is the place where Peter is, you remember, up on the housetop, and he was lodging with Simon the Tanner, and Cornelius had this visitation, and he was supposed to send men to Peter there at Joppa. In verse 32, he was supposed to send, therefore, to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he comes shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. So Peter opens up his mouth. Now, he's reiterating what happened, and Peter begins to preach. Now, Peter had a little bit of prejudice in him. He did. And, you know, Jews didn't talk to Gentiles. They didn't even get anywhere near them. The Lord gave him that vision and opened that sheet, you know, and showed him all these different animals and said, kill and eat, Peter. And Peter said, not so. Nothing unclean is going to touch these lips. Remember? He was up there on the rooftop. It happened three different times. The Lord was not so much working on Peter's diet there. He was addressing the prejudice that he had, the racial profiling that he had over people that were not Jewish. I mean, the Jews hated the Romans in a lot of ways. And they also, you know, were taught that you didn't go anywhere near a Gentile person. And then when the gospel opened up and started, it was like, hey, Paul came along with that revelation. And he had to upbraid Peter about the way Peter was acting. And it was like, hey, the gospel's not just for the Jewish people. It's for everybody, whosoever will, that wants to come to know Jesus. The gospel is there for every one of us, regardless of our color, regardless of our background, regardless whatever it is, wherever you've come from, however much money you have. You know, the rich young ruler thought he had something going there too because he had a lot of money. You can't buy your way into heaven. That is absolutely ridiculous. You cannot buy your way into heaven. It doesn't, that, in the end, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't. But money is a blessing here. We just were talking about our giving. God wants to bless you so you can help other people. Why? With the thought in mind that if I step out and help somebody, it opens a door to minister the gospel to them. And I'll tell you, the best time to share the gospel is when you hand somebody a $50 bill. Because they have a need. When you hand them a $100 bill, when you give them something, you go, now let me, before I give this to you, I've done this many times, before I give this to you, we're going to get something straight here. and we're going to talk about your life in the Lord. Boy, it's amazing how their ears perk up. You say, yeah, they're just taking you for a ride so they can get the money. That's between them and God. I'm doing what I know I need to do. And it doesn't matter of the color, doesn't matter how much they weigh, doesn't matter what kind of car they drive, that means nothing, because in eternity, you're stripped of all of that anyway, and you're going to stand before Almighty God, and if you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell. It's that simple. You know, people say, well, how dare you? How dare, that's prejudice right there. You're judging those that crack coconuts and chant before their little altar that they make. Hold it. The Bible has something to say about how you need to be saved and who is going to be saved. And the way to God is not through a coconut. Amen? Wow. You know, well, they worship what they believe. I don't care what they believe. If they believe this snake is God, or this animal over here is God, or this prophet had a word from God and came along with something that runs contrary to the Bible in a lot of ways, it doesn't matter what they believe. How can you show that kind of disregard for somebody else's beliefs? Jesus said, I am the way. Not one of the ways. There are not a lot of ways to God. There's a religion that preaches that there are a million different gods. You know, and that animal over there could be your grandpa, so you better be nice to it. You know, that kind of thing. Stupidity. But the devil wants to drag people into hell, take as many as he can. We need to have the attitude, we're going to take as many as we can with us to heaven. Amen? Amen. Okay, so in Acts chapter 10, we went through this last week. And, you know, I said Jews and Gentiles didn't talk to each other, and that's why this was the Lord had to appear and get something across to Peter. And then when the men showed up, the Lord told him, they're here, go down and go with them, okay? And that opened a door. Remember, Cornelius was a guy who in Hebrew, it literally meant that he stood at the gate and was about to enter in, or in other words, about to be saved. And he was, and Peter ended up taking the word to him, and he got filled with the Holy Spirit. My goodness, filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Spoke in other tongues. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. For they heard them, verse 46, speak with tongues and magnify God. Hey, there's no doubt about it. Cornelius got saved. I guarantee his whole household got saved. And got filled with the Holy Spirit, then was baptized in water after the fact. Thank you, Lord. All because Peter realized, I need to do the right thing here, and the Lord opened this up to him. Now, let's go on with this, because like I said, I want to finish this up tonight. There are areas of prejudice that people have toward one another, and it could be denominational. Ooh, if you've never felt the sting of denominational prejudice. I felt it a few times here in Stillwater when they find out I'm a pastor of a Word of Faith church. And you speak in tongues. Boy, that's gotten me in some hot water with some of these preachers around here from time to time. But you know what? I'm older than most of them now, and I don't really care, to tell you the truth. You know, when I was the new guy on the block, when I was 27 years old starting the church, you know, that was 33 years ago, man. To me, it's like, you know, at that time, you were like the kid and all these old 50-year-old guys, you know. Now I'm like, hey, I've been here longer than probably most any of them. I don't know. There may be a few denominational guys been here a little longer than me, but not many. Not many. And I don't mind. I mean, I'm like, hey, you know. So now I've got young guys, I've got guys 40, I've got guys in their late 20s coming to me to ask me questions about ministry. How about starting a church, you know? And when I start a church, a few guys have come to me and said, I feel like I'm supposed to go start a church over in this city or wherever, or, you know, I get them online and things. And I'm like, well, you better know you're called, I'll tell you that much, because it isn't going to be a free lunch, and it's not going to be a bunch of fun. And it's not about standing up in front of people and you're the attraction, you know, you're the star, you're the one they all listen to. And there's a lot of responsibility that comes with this. And it's a responsibility that a lot of times people don't even realize is there. I realize tonight, standing before you as a teacher of the Word of God, and anybody that teaches the Word is going to be judged based on what they teach people. It's very, very important that you not teach error. And so, why? Because you're going to be held accountable for everything that you teach. You know, there's not a one of us who teach the Word that are going to set out to try to teach somebody something that's wrong. And God knows your heart, okay? Have I ever been wrong? Yes. Have you ever been wrong? Yes. You know, the key there, though, is about, like, things that are real basic in the Word. Those are things that we need to center and focus on. And some of the things that are, you know, it's not a matter of salvation if you believe this or if you believe the other side of that. There's some things like that. You're not going to, you know, not go to heaven if you don't believe in healing. You won't have any healing, but you know, you go to heaven, you'll still go to heaven. You're not going to be denied heaven if you don't believe in tithing. You're not going to somehow end up in hell because you don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. No, you go to hell if you reject Jesus Christ, if you don't accept him as your Lord and Savior. That's the dividing line. That's what we're going to preach. And that's the message that needs to be really focused on in a lot of ways. But then the love of Jesus entering your heart needs to be spoken of in display to other people. I mean, I can tell you tonight, and I don't bat an eyelash saying it, I don't have any prejudice in me. I do not. And why is that? Because I have Jesus in me. And, you know, the one guy came to me at that time, and I mentioned it to him. He said, well, you've never lived around this nationality of people. Talking about people that come from south of here of the border, you know. And it's like, first off, you don't know that. Secondly, that is not true because I had some good buddies that were Mexican. They came from Mexico. They were legal. Their dad worked at the plant my dad worked at. You know what? You know, you learn to look, and when you learn to look in people's eyes, all that other stuff goes away. But you don't know. No, you've got hatred in you, and you need to get in touch with the blood. That's what that is. I get so tired of that noise. Remember me telling you when I worked out at Oberlin? And Terry, by the way, we're believing for your AC to get fixed and your safe travel when you leave tomorrow. Praise God. Whenever you're going, it's soon. He knows when he's going. Anyway, I was working out here at Oberlin. That's why I thought of Terry, because he was my boss at the time. And there was a preacher from a nearby town, and he told me that they would not let black people in their church. And I nearly hit that guy in the mouth. I'm serious. I came that close to hitting him. I was so upset with the way he was talking about. And I said, let me leave it at this. You call yourself a Christian, I question whether you're saved. You don't have the love of Jesus in you. And that's why I had to back off because, you know, then he could have said, well, he knocked my tooth out. He's not saved either, you know. A wormy little guy. Anyway, I repented. I repented on that, over that. So, but that bugs me when it comes out in a religious way. You know, I'm like, ooh, just don't go there. Pastor John was with me at the table. He and I both were working for Terry. Terry got two for his money there. I'll tell you what, Johnny and I, we hated that job, actually, but did it for a short time. Praise God. Let's go on. Let's go over to the ministry of Jesus. I'm going to take you over to the gospel of, let's go to Luke chapter 4. This is where we're going to wrap this thing up. Now, you know what? You can talk about prejudice in a nutshell, and I don't really want to hear all the excuses because there are people on every corner today talking about, well, you don't know. You've never been. I have been discriminated against, okay? I have felt that sting. I have had prejudice thrown in my face, and it doesn't feel good. I'm not going to say it does feel good, but the fact is, how are you going to deal with it? Are you going to ruffle your feathers and get mad, get into strife, and now all the other covenant rights that you have coming to you won't happen because you're not in love. You're in unforgiveness, and the sins are stacking up in your life all because of something somebody said. Luke chapter 4. This is something that the body of Christ, I don't treat this tenderly. I hit it right between the eyes because it's a sin to hold prejudice, to have racial prejudice. That's a sin. It's rooted in hate. It's rooted in judgmentalism. That's where it's rooted. And you and I should not be anywhere near that stuff. We need to be the ones that walk with the answer and the attitude that people can see Christ in us and Christ on us. And all that business that the world's so fighting about, and some people in the church are fighting about it, but they need some teaching like this from the pulpit. There are some churches that promote that junk. Oh, yeah. And that needs to be shut down. Lord's not going to stand for that stuff. His shepherds teaching division? Oh, didn't Jesus come to bring division? When the word is spoken, it's going to cut and divide. Even this word tonight will cut and divide. Some will get ticked off and think, you just don't know what you're talking about. And others will go, you know what? And it's the truth. Every time I've taught on healing, somebody comes along, yeah, but God put sickness on me to teach me something. See, they always have a higher point and a contrary point that doesn't line up with the word of God. Luke chapter 4. Jesus preaches his first sermon. Remember, he said that, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me. You remember all that, right? This is one where they were going to throw him off of the cliff. Let's just go right back there to this. He talks about the Spirit of the Lord being upon him in verse 18. They asked him to read. He gets up. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, he's reading there out of the book of Isaiah, what, chapter 61? Okay. And he sits down, he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, look at that next verse, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, now see, right there, they're looking at him, they're going, this is the carpenter's boy. They didn't even recognize the things that were going on in his life and ministry. This was his first sermon, yes, but word was already out about who he is and what he was doing. Now, let's go on with this. So Jesus said, this is fulfilled in your ears today. Verse 23, he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country, but I tell you of a truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up, and 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Do you see that? Verse 26, that's a Lebanese woman. Now you're kind of getting a clue of why they end up wanting to throw him off the cliff. Okay? Yes, he made the proclamation, this day it's fulfilled, but then he starts talking about a Lebanese woman and how Elijah was sent to somebody that they think is totally unclean, but yet the prophet of God, who they all honor, was sent to minister to this Lebanese woman. Verse 27, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Now you're talking about a Syrian. This is not a Jewish person. Jesus pushed the button of racism right there when he brought up the Lebanese woman and the Syrian man. And look at this. What does verse 28 say? And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were overjoyed and jumped up and shouted and praised God and were so excited. But no, it said they were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him under the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. They didn't take him out the side door right here. They had to walk him out, push him out. Really, they were wanting to string him up. They didn't string him up. They were going to throw him down and smash his head on the rocks. Why? Racism. Prejudice. Jesus condoned the action of Elijah and the action of Elisha. Going to somebody who was not an Israeli. Can you imagine that? And it ticked them off to the point of wanting to kill Jesus Christ. My goodness. Jesus had to deal with it. Jesus had to deal with it. How did he deal with it? They get him to the edge and he decides, and turns around and looks at him. Now, we've talked about this many times. They turned around and were going to push God off of a hill that he made. He was God in the flesh. He turned around. Can you just imagine his eyes? You just imagine his eyes. You look into the eyes of Jesus. I mean, it'll melt you. No doubt about it. Have you ever met somebody who has really piercing eyes? They almost make you feel like you got a cover, you know, because their eyes just make you feel like you're naked or something. I was listening to Fred Brothers. They were here when Jen was here. And he was talking about, he had a meeting one day. He had called Oral Roberts and was meeting with Oral Roberts about some things in the ministry. When he sat down, he said, Oral Roberts has eyes that just would just pierce you through. I know Brother Copeland's like that. Some people look at you, it's just like they're so intense. It's like to blink or something, just you know, easy. But can you imagine Jesus turning around looking at these people and they couldn't lay a hand on him? They couldn't lay a hand on him. His time wasn't then yet. What did he say? He said it in the Gospel of John. He said, I'll lay my life down when it's time, and I'll pick it up again as well. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own volition. So he turned around. So that also tells you that when he was in the garden and they came for him, all the soldiers and that, and ended up leading him and having him crucified like he did, Jesus let them do that. It was a trap. It was a divine trap that was sprung on the devil. That fool, the devil's a fool. Amen? Come on, amen? Now, in Acts chapter 10, verses 45 through 48, you'll remember, and we mentioned it already, but Peter ends up spending the night at Cornelius. He spends the night at a Gentile's house. Peter got a hold of this. Peter got a hold of it. You and I need to have a hold of this all the time. We cannot let stuff out there. I mean, again, I'll listen more to what a person says any day of the week over what color their skin is. I met some really nice people the people that get caught up into the prejudice thing, into this racism, would say, you should stay away from folks like that. You know, I welcome all people. I mean, I'm thrilled with the melting pot that we have today in this earth. Amen? I mean, it's God's will that all men be saved, come to a knowledge of the truth. He didn't say all but the Syrians, all but the Lebanese, all but these people, all but those people. No, 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 no. Do not in any way, shape, or form have any of that kind of mindset that, I don't know. I don't think I'd turn my back on that person. He might have a knife or something, or she might have a gun, or you just don't know. God knows, and God knows what you're thinking if you think that stuff. Come on, the love of Jesus is much, much better than that. Amen? Amen. Come on, stand to your feet. You guys don't seem too excited tonight about this message, but you know what? This is where we live. All this stuff going on out there in the world right now, with people demonstrating and all this stuff going on, you know what? The love of Jesus is not mentioned in it. if you've noticed. It's all about standing up for their rights, this person's rights, that person's rights, this one's right, and now you've got people on the other side of the spectrum doing the same thing. It's coming from all angles. The devil wants a race war. He wants that stuff stirred up. He loves it. It's been going on for centuries. Divide and conquer, and the body of Christ should have nothing to do with it. And shame on these guys that call themselves reverends that get up and spew hate speech toward people of other races. That's not God. Now, I'll tell you what. We're in a time right now when that kind of stuff, I wouldn't want to be guilty of doing something like that when the Holy Spirit is manifesting himself throughout the earth in the way that he is beginning to do now. You don't stand up and pull that kind of garbage. You remember what happened to Herod? Paul remembers in the book of Acts what happened to Herod. Fell down, gave up the ghost, was eaten up with worms. God killed him. I'll tell you what, he was living for the devil. You know, it goes back to that. What are you made out of tonight? What are you made out of? What are you made out of? Is the love of Jesus in your heart fully? If the love of Jesus abides in you and you are a man or a woman who has the greater one living and dwelling on the inside, then you understand that what I'm telling you tonight is the absolute gospel truth. And color doesn't mean a thing. It shouldn't. You know, I mean, well, I just hate red. It makes me mad, you know. Red makes me mad. So I hate that shirt you're wearing. Hey, you know what? Withhold those comments. That's you know, you don't need to do that. But that's the kind of foolishness that people get into, you know. Well, that color of that person. Come on, man. Amen. Amen. Well, come on, let's bow our heads and pray. Get you guys home so you can go get something to eat. Father, we thank you and praise you and give you glory tonight for the word. And Lord, this whole, let's enter into a place of intercession right now on the behalf of peace in our country regarding all this racial divide. In Jesus' name, Father, we stand before you tonight as members of the body of Christ. And Lord, we're not going to pass judgment on people regarding the color of their skin in any, from any nationality, any ethnicity. We're not going to do that. But we do judge actions that do not line up with your word. Hateful things, hateful stuff that's going on, we say, uh-uh, that's not you. We know it's not you. We thank you for the peace of Christ coming over and for ministries, ministers, pastors, church leaders, teachers of the word, having that revelation in them that needs to be spoken of and taught today and talked about. It's not a subject that should be avoided. It's something that should be straightened out from the scriptures. And Lord, I thank you that we'll walk in love one toward another, and not just toward the other Christians. We'll walk in love toward the world. How else is the world ever going to be one if we don't walk in love and show the love of Christ to a lost and dying nation of people? So, Father, we thank you tonight and praise you tonight for the love of Jesus. Get a hold of that. Get a hold of that. And, Father, I pray that love permeates churches of full of people that have held on to racial prejudices, educational prejudices, monetary prejudice. Lord, all those things that try to divide, and Lord, we just pray for unity within the body of Christ, and for the world to be touched, ministered to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus. And we bless you this night and praise you this night for it in Jesus' name. If y'all can agree, say amen. Amen. Amen and amen.